This is HDN.
It's Friday. Jamie and Lisa in the Beaver Bank Bunker, and we have guests.
Yes, we do. Welcome back, Constable Don Jenkins.
Hey, Don.
Halifax Regional Police.
And you brought you brought a guest. Why don't you introduce your guest?
My guest tonight is my lovely guest I've been married to for the past 30 years, my lovely wife, Erica.
Hey, Erica. Beautiful. Welcome to the Beaver Bank Bunker.
Well, it is very fortunate that we are able to have you here in the Beaver Bank Bunker, given what has taken place in the last number of days in Moncton.
Now, while we're recording this, the suspect is still on the loose in Moncton, the shooting suspect.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that you can't speak to that at all, but I do want to say, you know, first of all, it is an amazing sacrifice that you guys make in policing every day when you step out your door to go to work.
Well, you know something, let's put something in perspective here when we think of police officers. We are in your neighborhood, and we are the volunteers at the baseball, basketball, soccer games throughout the year. We volunteer at the schools, and we're just normal, average, everyday people. But ultimately, what we have chosen to do throughout our adult life is to perform an out-of-the-ordinary job. As
Absolutely.
I say, while we are ordinary citizens, ordinary neighbors, we perform an out-of-the-ordinary job. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I find most extraordinary about what we do is whenever you turn on the TV and they show strife in different parts of the country, shootings, let's be honest, that's what we're talking about now, they will show pictures of the masses of people running away from something. It's natural self-preservation to run away from something.
Mm-hmm.
But you will always see a few figures running towards it, and it's the boys and girls in blue.
But I mean, that must mess with your head. I mean, when I go to work in the morning, I'm going to work and I'm going to write stories, and I know that what I'm doing is a pretty safe job. You go out to work in the morning and you have the thought that something might happen today and I might not make it home.
Well, it's not something that you allow to preoccupy your thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know it exists, and you put it into the proper perspective that it does in fact exist. But once again, you certainly don't dwell upon it. Mm-hmm. You accept the fact that there are inherent hazards with the occupation we've chosen.
Now, you accept that fact. But Erica, I want to talk to you because, first of all, how long have you and Don been married?
We've been married 30 years.
And how long has Don been on the force?
He'll be 30 years in December.
So this is all you've ever known.
This is the only married life I've known.
Okay, now with a situation like we have there in Moncton, what is your thought process?
My first thought process is much like Don's. You pretend or you don't dwell on the possibilities. One thought is always in your mind. We live in Dartmouth.
Mm-hmm.
We live in Halifax. Things like that don't happen here.
But people in Moncton had that same thought process.
Exactly. And now their life, their comfortable life, has been completely disrupted.
Right.
Those spouses are probably going to need therapy because they're going to be terrified every time their spouse steps out the door now that it has happened. And knock on wood, it did not happen. Although there were times when I'd get a phone call from Don saying, I'm involved in something, I won't be home. First thought is, dear God, let it be just a car accident, which is a terrible thing to say, but that is your first thought. I mean, please God, let him be dealing with
one of those car accidents. One of those
Somebody
emergency
else's.
Traffic tickets that has to be written.
And there's been a few that he's been telling me the details. It's like, I don't need to hear any more about this.
Yeah.
I know how horrific it was.
Now, does this situation in Moncton, does it change the way you look at this?
Let's just say I'm really glad he's retiring in December.
Mm. All right. Well, I mean, as somebody who sits on the other side of the blue shield, I think we all owe a debt of gratitude, not only to the police officers, but the spouses. You guys play a very important role.
It's very nice that when we have our yearly dinner and dance honoring police officers, honoring ourselves, it's a real classy thing the department started doing a number of years ago. For the retired members, they bring their wives to the forefront, and they are recognized and all given, righteously so, a standing ovation.
Well, you know what? It's very similar to the spouses of people in the military who go overseas, who go to war, but every day. You're kissing your husband goodbye, and he's going off to war, more or less. When you put on that uniform, you're putting a target on yourself.
Yeah, and like our oldest son said.
Oh, now I'm scaring you, Don. Sorry. I don't like that look. I'm retiring now.
But like our oldest son said, that's what he's grown up with.
Yeah.
That's been his reality.
All right.
Now, the other pressing question. Is there a quota for traffic tickets, Dawn? I want to know this.
I've got to ask that question.
Now, yes, once again.
It's funny. He just gets into this mode. Sorry, Dawn. I was just trying to break the tension there.
Oh, but certainly.
Lighten the mood.
But further to that, though, has that been contracted out to private parking enforcement?
Okay, that's parking tickets. That have been contracted out to a private security company that enforces the parking tickets. But when it comes to the actual Motor Vehicle Act, as in
speeding
tickets, red light violations, crosswalk violations, failing to yield to pedestrians, those tickets, that is the purview of the police officers that we give them out.
So you give out the tickets to keep people safe.
In one sense, yes, very much so.
Yeah, I haven't really seen one of those horrible parallel parking related deaths. You know, that...
And you want to know something? Let's put something in perspective.
That meter exploded, and it was crazy.
And it was carnage.
Quarters everywhere.
Just
literally drawn and quartered.
Anyone driving down the street, just think of the number of violations that you see. The countless number of violations you see. We as police officers, you can park yourself in a prominent location along any busy street, and it's like the violation comes to you. Mm. So when many people will see the countless violations, we are trying to take the proverbial bite out of crime for the said motor vehicle violations that are taking place. And of course, right now, it's a good time to tell people that through this month, the month of June of this year, the enforcement topic for the Halifax, apparently we're no longer Halifax Regional.
We're just Halifax now.
We're just plain old Halifax.
Can I just take a moment to say hallelujah? I'm sorry. We should have been Halifax a long time ago.
We had to ease into it. We had to ease into it because I remember when the amalgamation first happened.
Yeah, so do I.
It was nasty.
It was nasty. And I remember I would do the news and I would talk about a Halifax Regional Police officer in a story. And if it took place in Bedford, I would get calls from Bedford police officers saying it was Bedford police.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, okay.
Well,
no,
is that what they sounded like?
Yeah.
I'm Constable Weiner from Bedford police.
I'll let you in on a little insight that a lot of people really didn't realize. What some of us did in Dartmouth is we had on one shoulder of our police uniform the Dartmouth City Police crest.
Nice.
And what we sewed on the opposite shoulder was the Halifax Police crest. So actually there were many, 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 many weeks, many of us were going around with a police crest of the two previous police agencies.
You're like biker gangs. Really? But there is a certain element of pride that goes with being in a certain force.
I could not agree with you more.
Take off a patch and put on somebody else's patch.
You know something I've often said to Erica, that yes, my career has prospered. I have been a very fortunate person as to the way how my policing career has gone since we became Halifax Regional Municipality, now Halifax. But I've often said to Erica, it's that first 12 and a half years of my career when I was a Dartmouth City police officer, I was privileged to serve with a bunch of real old senior war horses, that they took this real dumb, hesitant young cop under their wing, and they were my mentors. And I want to, either in December of this year, January of next year at the latest, track down about a half a dozen to 10 senior guys. I want to take them all out for a great meal,
and I want to
toast them. I don't want anything for myself. I want to seek out these officers, and I want to thank them for helping shape my career and be my friend for the years that it was great to be the kind of people that when myself and some of the other young bucks on the job, please don't misinterpret this, we would race to back these guys up on calls. We idolized them. We wanted to watch them in action. We wanted to listen to how they did things, watch how they did things.
That's how you learn.
And then whenever they were done calls, we would want to stay and linger and chat with them because they were always talking about stories or things at the briefing before shift started. Right. And we wanted them to continue talking about stuff. And then dispatch would have to call us. Can we have a unit clear to respond to whatever?
Right. You know what you should do, Don? Take out some of these retired police officers, like you said.
Yes.
and break a few laws. just turn this town upside down.
I wouldn't be surprised if that hadn't happened while they were up.
I know you've already promised me there are things you can edit out of this.
Yes,
but
indeed.
The stories I used to hear where a lot of these guys were serving prior to the implementation of the Police Act.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because there were days where police officers used to do things because, well, they're the police. They can do this. The stories we used to hear...
Curl your hair.
Yeah. I'm telling you without a word of lie.
Now, but they did it with the interest of the public in mind? Or were they just bullying and pushing their own limits?
No, you know something? I guess there's a mentality of what we all can say. What is considered to be the most appropriate way to deal with an individual?
Mm. Just like Dexter, for instance. That's the whole plot of the series Dexter. He's, you know, he works with the police department, but he just gives these people justice in his own little way.
Kind of that theory on steroids, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, maybe I've just opened up Pandora's box. Mm. Maybe people want to check on the statute of limitations on some things and track some of these guys down. But I will never hesitate to say I idolized a lot of those old guys. Mm. And there was an awful lot of what they did. They didn't have the type of training that we've been experiencing for so many years. They did what they did because they were committed to doing what was right.
So listen, you are here tonight because the weather is warmer. And the bad guys are out, and they're looking at vehicles these days.
No question about it. Thefts from motor vehicles always spike when the weather gets nicer because the bad guys start doing a lot more window shopping as well. And you know something? The number one thing that we can do to greatly reduce the likelihood of having any of our vehicles selected as a target of the crime of theft from motor vehicle is never leave anything of obvious value in an unattended vehicle.
Even if you lock it.
Even if you lock it, because you know something, the breaking of a window can be done in seconds, whether it's locked, whether it's unlocked, the breaking of the window, the opening of a door, you reach in, you take what you want, and you're gone. So many times in the middle of the night, even if someone thinks they're hearing that window break, long before you wipe the sleep out of your eyes and then trip over the dogs, once you go try to look out the window to see what's going on, the bad guys are already either walking or running down the street, and they're making good their escape. So the most important thing is never leave anything of value in your vehicle. Now, you know, I think it was the movie Argo where the guys had the quote, "This is our best bad idea by far." Well, I'm going to use that as a segue to refer to never leaving anything of value in an unattended vehicle. But also the Seinfeld episode, people were using a sweater to cover a brand new TV. Well, guess what? Not only is it a box of a TV wearing a sweater, you're signaling to the criminal that there's something of obvious value that I think I'm going to try to conceal. Hello, you're signaling to someone doing window shopping inside a vehicle that there is something of value to you. Chances are it'll be of something of value to them.
So what you're saying, really, is if you're going to leave something of value in plain sight, you might as well leave your car door open. You'll save yourself a broken window.
No question about it, because a criminal won't leave something of value in your vehicle, so why would you?
Yeah. Or dress it better.
Dress it better.
Yeah, really, it's summertime. Sweaters are so out.
Oh, I know. That's a dead giveaway. It's too warm for sweaters.
Put a Speedo on that television.
Something else, too, that has increased is the number of calls about dogs in cars.
Dogs, kids from time to time, for reasons parents might be going shopping. They might be in, folks, not a popular topic with some, they might be in at the VLTs, or for some other reason. Let's go back to the dogs for a minute. You've left your animal in the vehicle. First off, why would you want to take it with you when you're going shopping or wherever you're going so you can leave them in a hot vehicle for any length of time? Length of time.
In a matter of seconds, the temperature in a car can skyrocket.
Came across a guy at a prominent mall many, many years ago. Very high-end, expensive vehicle. Thought he left the windows down enough. And it was, I wish I could remember the type of dog, but it was a big dog. And his nice leather seats were shredded. Because the dog had a psychotic episode. It was so hot in there. Yeah. And I remember when animal control showed up, and I think that particular time, we got a hold of one of the towing companies, and they were able to jimmy the door open. And I think that dog was so happy to get outside, run around the parking lot. Of course, we start getting concerned now. Is the dog going to get hit by another vehicle? But fortunately, we did not have any difficulty with the dog. But the owner, when he got back, he had some difficulties with us.
Yeah. And you guys do have the authorization to smash a window if a dog is in distress.
You know something? If an officer believes that they have to do that to assist the animal, most certainly we will force our way into the vehicle.
And you only have a matter of moments to make that decision, too. You can't go into the mall or wherever to try to find the owner.
And it's relative to the officer's judgment as to how much of a life-threatening situation the animal is in. I mean, we can split hairs and say, is the animal in distress or is the animal's life actually affected? Cruelty to animals, that's a criminal offense.
Or a child, as you said.
Oh, a child. That's, you know, and please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to be unfeeling towards the animal and infinitely more feeling to a child. You bet. No hesitancy. We're going in. Yeah. You got a child. You've got a youngster in there. And sometimes we've actually come across, believe it or not, kids in baby seats. So the most young, the most defenseless, we're going in. You know, folks, whether it be people that are prowling about looking for the commission of the offense, that you suspect we've got some suspicious people lurking about a parking lot up and down the street, whether it be 2 in the afternoon or 2 in the morning, please call police. We would rather have you err on the side of caution, call, report something, permitting us the opportunity to respond to determine that it isn't something, as opposed to actually ne'er-do-wellers doing something, we never getting the call to at least show up to interrupt the crime taking place or to show up and apprehend the criminals.
Don Jenkins, Erica, thank you both so much for dropping by the Beaver Bank Bunker.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
So have a great weekend, and we'll be back again Monday.
Until then.